Good morning. Bless you, bless you, thanks. Good morning. Wow, wow, wow. You know, to me, the testimonies are just getting more and more fun because they're, honestly, everyone knows that I have, and we have a real strong focus on healing, and I, you know, it's not a secret that I and that we together enjoy the miracles of healing and deliverance and the stuff that we see happen. But I've got to be honest with you, I honestly get as excited about seeing people promoted within city structure and within government and business and bringing about reformational change in those areas, in the educational system and in the various parts of life of our city and our region. Just so encouraged to see what's happening. And I really appreciate, Paul, the prayer direction or during the offering reading of the businesses. I feel like the Lord's going to give us a real strategy, and I'm not able to talk about it this morning in the sense of teaching, but I would like to just prophesy the Lord releasing prayer strategies for us for the economic revival and reformation in this region. And Bob Hartley sent me a word. I think it's the second or third time he sent me something similar, but he sent me a word this week. I was down in Camarillo, down in Southern California, a healing school with Randy Clark. It was just fun. Every time I'm with Randy, I just am glad. I sit there and watch him and his life expression, and I think, oh Jesus, help me to become like that. And I just get so rocked. We had one guy that, I also love raw testimonies. And sometimes when you get these guys that have just been saved, you know, out of various gang and drug lifestyles, and you hear their testimony, they're very colorful. They're very colorful. And we had a guy healed this week, of a broken foot that he got many, many years ago, BC, in a bar fight. And it was just fun to hear him give testimony. But anyway, while we were down there, Bob Hartley sent me this word that there is a new benevolence movement coming out of California. A new benevolence movement coming out of California. I want you to mark that down. In fact, if you've got anything to write on, I want you to write down the date and write it down in your Bible or on a piece of paper. You've got bulletins, you've got little note papers in there. Write it down. New benevolence movement out of California. Just put down, what month is this? Is this still February? Is it February? Sorry. I know it's either February or March because January is out of the way. I got that one down. February or March. That's bad. But I know the year too, so I'm feeling pretty good. Feeling pretty confident about the day. February 2010. And just start looking for it and praying into it. New benevolence movement. That there would come out of a righteous order in economics. A benevolence movement. And I'll tell you what I feel it's going to do. There's going to be a release of resources that is not only going to increase our ability to help the poor, but in helping the poor, break the cycle of poverty, break the cycle of dependency on government systems, etc. If you're dependent on a government system, no guilt, shame for that at all. But I know deep in your heart, you want to prosper out of your own labor, your own creativity, your own expression in life. And I really believe the Lord's going to release greater secrets to us in this. In fact, let's just do this. Just put a hand on the shoulder of somebody next to you in some way. Just pray, Lord, release even now the anointing for a new benevolence movement in our state, a new benevolence movement in our state of caring for the poor that breaks generational bondage as it pertains to the cycle of poverty, systemic poverty. We just say it is not to function in our city, that there will not be children that inherit a destiny of poverty, but instead people within this city and region would be free to dream and would be able to fulfill purpose, God-given purpose in their life, in business and in giving and generosity. So we pray that for our city. I tell you, folks, the Lord's going to give us the ability to build homes for people. There's going to be the ability to take the poorest of the poor, work with them in lifestyle decisions to where they can honestly come into their own home. There's just going to be training in industry, in different kinds of trades, where those who have had no hope of ever getting out of that part of life, they're just going to get free from that. And I tell you, I feel like I could just preach on it all morning, just out of my own, you know, joy for what I see and feel. And I'm not going to do that, but I'm really provoked prophetically. I'm encouraged, but I'm also developing an attitude. And I really believe the Lord's going to release that. So Lord, just release that grace to us. Release dreams in the night and prophetic dreams even in the day that we would see and perceive what can be done through sanctified resources. Through sanctified resources. Wow. Sanctified resources. You know, let's not stop here. Let's just not stop here yet. Let's not stop here yet. Sanctified resources, Lord. Sanctify our resources, Lord. We present all that we are and have to you. That our resources of gift, talents, abilities, the words, the revelations, the insights, the finances, everything that we have, they would become sanctified resources. Wouldn't it be awesome that every gift you gave was released as though it were a prayer cloth carrying the presence of the Lord? The Bible describes those who walk in anointing as their feet dripping with oil. What would it be like for the businessmen and women of this house to walk into places of business, their feet dripping with oil, dripping with that blessing and favor of the Lord, that wherever you go, the fragrance of Christ remains in that place after you've been there. There's this fragrance. There's been this prophetic word that's been released in recent days about the people of God carrying the fragrance of Christ, that there would be that mark of anointing. Picture this. You know, that your feet dripping with oil, that you walk into a business to do business there, and when you leave, the favor of God is still there. And the presence of the Lord, that which changes. You know what happened to Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost? Here is a city that rose up for the crucifixion of Christ. 50 days later, the Holy Spirit was released into the atmosphere of a city, so changed their way of thinking. The presence of the Lord, the sound of heaven was released over a city so dramatically, 9 o'clock in the morning, 50 days later, they are coming to the 120, gathering by the thousands around them saying, what must we do to be saved? What had to happen to the atmosphere for there to be that kind of shift in thought that the people who nailed him to the cross would be the same ones saying, what must we do to be saved? There's atmospheric shift that is released. Every time you and I say yes to God, a people that are favored of the Lord, a people that are favored to walk into our cities with the faith and the confidence of having been hand-selected by God to carry presence, to carry message, to carry this wonderful kingdom into our cities and let our feet just drip with oil. Stain the carpets of every place you walk into. Just with that favor and the blessing of the Lord. God, we want others to be blessed. We want others to be promoted and to have breakthroughs just simply because you're on us and they encounter you. Put your hand on somebody's shoulder again. Just do it again. And just tell them, your role in this city has just started. Just tell them, your role in this city has just started. Those of you at Twin View and in the overflow room, Just turn to each other. Your role in this city has just begun. It has just begun. Releasing the favor of the Lord. Those watching by Bethel TV, your role in impacting your city has just started. Releasing the favor of the Lord. Releasing the favor of the Lord. We bless your name, Lord. We bless your name. That this city would be favored because we're favored. That the city would be favored because we're favored. And any other good word you have for them, just give it to them. Come on. Bob Jones told us once he had a little 5-year-old kid come up to him and prophesied over him. This little kid came up to him, 5 years old, prophesied over Bob Jones, the prophet. And this is the word he gave him. He says, when you grow up, you're going to be a great man of God. Bob Jones said it was the best word he'd ever received. Turn to the person next to you. Just tell them, when you grow up, you're going to be a great man, a woman of God. Come on. Just tell them, you're here to make a difference. You are here to be contagious. You are contagious. Your faith is contagious. Just tell them your joy is contagious. Your faith is contagious. Your courage is contagious. Your courage is contagious. Come on. Your courage is contagious. Kevin, I like the prayer time this morning. Giving a report of our city, that it wasn't a happy city. They just didn't talk to the right people. I think that's right. That's the right word right there. They just didn't talk to the right people. Tell you what, there is an anointing for breakthrough. There is an anointing for breakthrough. There is an anointing for breakthrough. There's an anointing for breakthrough. The Lord revealed himself to Israel, to David, as Baal Perazim, which means God of the breakthrough. God of the breakthrough. The anointing upon you that you are sensing at this moment is the anointing of the God of the breakthrough. There are times he comes just to give peace, but there are other times he comes to destroy. Because there's the God of the breakthrough, the God of the breakthrough. Think about this. Think about the Lord declaring this over your life. Now remember, whenever we talk about enemies, even though the illustration used was enemy nations surrounding Israel and spoke of the destruction of nations, prophetically it is honestly dealing with principalities and powers that are set against the destruction, the demise of the people of God. Listen to this. Therefore, all who devour you shall be devoured. All your adversaries, every one of them, will go into captivity. Those who plunder you shall become plunder. And all who prey upon you, I will make a prey. And I will restore health to you and heal you of your wounds. Because they called you an outcast, saying, this is Zion, no one seeks her. Behold, I will bring back the captivity of Jacob's tents. I will restore you, is what the Lord is declaring. I will restore. The God of the breakthrough is bringing breakthrough. You know, I feel like I've got another message, but it apparently isn't very important today. Listen, this verse I just read to you, when we started the service today, we started reading out of Jeremiah 31. We picked up the last phrase that said, in the latter days you will consider it. This that I read you is what preceded that statement. Jeremiah 30, that's what precedes 31. So, I'm just messing with you. 16 and 17, I will restore health to you. I will heal you of your wounds. Tell you what, I feel like we just need to stir some things up here. I don't know how we're going to quite do this, but I feel like there was a moment. And these moments, while every promise in the book is ours, there still is a place of intimacy with God where you come into a place of experiencing an inheritance. In other words, experiencing what was put in your bank account. How many know you can starve to death and have $1 million in your bank account? You have to make a withdrawal. The Lord has given us every promise, but there is a process of extracting what He has put within reach. And I believe there's an anointing this morning for breakthrough. This is what I've been feeling the last maybe 5 or 10 minutes. I feel like we're almost at a place that Solomon was in when the Lord appeared to him and said, ask for what you want. Ask for what you want. That we're to bring that which has concerned us. In fact, if we weren't walking in the Spirit, in the mind of Christ, it would actually distract us. And we're to stand before the Lord and to make the decree. Because the God of the breakthrough is in the house. The God of the breakthrough is in the house. One of the greatest thrills that I see is seeing people set free of 10, 20, 30 years, sometimes 50 years of affliction on their body that they've carried. Remember, just was a week or so ago, 40-some years of affliction in the body, and this woman is just stunned, standing there stunned, cannot believe it, that it is all completely gone. Living under that spirit of affliction for 40-plus years, and it's gone, completely gone. And there are things in this room, some of you have been under the weight of influence, of things that just never worked out for your parents, they never worked for your grandparents, and you live under the shadow of that thing. And I'll tell you what, the Father is releasing the name to His people. This is the word I've been carrying the last several weeks, is that the Father, it's by the Father in heaven through which every family on earth is named. A name releases identity. A name releases purpose. A name releases the confidence for a place of significance. That's what the Father does. And there is this release right now. I'm telling you, there is a release. There is a release of breaking systemic poverty, of breaking that thing you just have. Some of you have just embraced the personality of just wandering often into depression, just thinking that was just the personality you were given. And it's not. And this morning, it is being given a death blow. This morning, there are things that are being changed about your life that the Lord is rearranging the DNA of individual lives and hearts right now. There has been a bent towards unbelief. You haven't been able to understand it. There's been some of you that no matter how good things go, you rejoice, you try to get happy, but you constantly, almost like a dislocated joint. I've had this knee has been dislocated many times years ago. And as soon as it's dislocated, it is so fragile when it's put back into place. It's so fragile because it's so easy to slip out of place again. I don't understand it. A doctor could explain it, but all I know is the experience of having that thing slip out of place, having somebody have to reset the leg, and then to live so tenderly because it's so easy for that. Just turn the wrong way, it just goes out of place again. And there's some of you have been in that place, disjointed in unbelief. It's not your nature. It's not who you are. And God is healing that dislocated joint, that which has been out of place, and he's healing it so it's not your bent to be in unbelief anymore. It's not your bent to be the complainer. You don't even like yourself because you find yourself complaining. You get frustrated with yourself because you slip into criticism. And the Lord is bringing a healing and a deliverance to the hearts of people right now. Anybody with that issue, that has been your bent. We're going to just start praying for stuff. We'll scrap this and let's just do that. If that's your bent and you really want that to change as of today, that's been your bent, stand quickly, because I'm going to have people around you pray for you. If that's your bent, you've had that bent towards, you can't understand it, but there's just that bent towards just slipping into that place of unbelief so quickly. Gather around them quickly. Just start laying hands on them. Pray. Just start prophesying. This is the day that it has changed. Prophesy over them. The God of the breakthrough is upon you. Declare those words over the people. The God of the breakthrough is upon you. The God of the breakthrough is upon you. The God of the breakthrough is upon you. Stir up that prophetic word in your own heart. I don't care if you've never prophesied before. Now's a good time to learn. We got people that need a good word from God. That life cycle is broken. That has been generational. It is not your inheritance. It is not who God made you to be. You inherit the lifestyle of Jesus. That is your inheritance. That is your nature as a born-again person. That is your nature. Keep it up. Don't stop. Declare promises over them. Declare promises over them. Declare promises. New day. It's a new day. It's a new day. And it's not too good to be true. It's a new day. It's a new day. It's not too good to be true. It's a new day. Those who are watching by iBethel TV, do the same thing. Just if your family members together, if you're by yourself, lay your hand on your own heart and begin to prophesy over your own life. It's a new day. It is a new day. The day of breakthrough has come upon me. Those of you that are receiving prayer, I want you to renounce the spirit of unbelief. Renounce the spirit of unbelief. Renounce discouragement. Renounce it. It is no longer a part of your life. It is no longer. Just put it on your lips. I renounce discouragement as a way of life. I will not live under that cloud any longer. It is not who I am. Now, this is a very, very important part. Stay right where you are. This is a very important part. Those of you that just got prayer, I want you now to start bringing words of encouragement to the people around you. Lay your hand on them and release the prosperity of soul. I want you to prophesy. Just declare the goodness of the Lord. Declare the goodness of the Lord over them. Declare to them that God is going to fulfill the dreams and the desires of their heart. Declare it to them. Just lay hands on them. Declare it. God is opening the storehouses of heaven to supply all your needs in Christ. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We're going to pray for a couple more things. Go ahead and sit down. I feel like we're just going to take this morning, just make it a prayer morning together. We'll just partner together in just these moments, these prophetic moments, to confess and declare the word of the Lord. There's this amazing scripture. We'll not study it today. I just want to make quick reference to it. Amazing scripture in 2 Corinthians 1 that talks about in Christ, all the promises of God are yes. What a profound statement. All the promises. Where are you? Well, I'm in Christ. Well, guess what? In Christ, all the promises are yes. And then the scripture goes on to say, it is the church that provides the amen. The amen, this amen means so be it. So it's in Christ, and the church provides the amen, so be it. Come on. All the promises are yes in Christ. All the promises are yes in Christ. You in a war? Well, you're not ill-trained. You are trained for the moment you are in. Anybody else been watching the Olympics? I've been able to catch a little here and there. I was gone this week and my wife recorded Kelly Clark. You just got back, did you? Were you at Kelly Clark's thing by any chance? No. Kelly Clark is a friend of this house. She's a great part of one of the churches that we relate to down in Mammoth. And she's an Olympic gold medalist, and she's won, I don't know, all the different Winter X Games and all these things. And she's been healed here on, is it three occasions? She's been healed three times. She's a snowboarder. How many of those few injuries that go along with that sport? I think they're all crazy myself, but thank you, Jesus, that she's there. She is this amazingly bold witness for the Lord. And, she's very well-known snowboarder, and her boards, she helps design, and part of the artwork for one of her boards was designed by students in her school of ministry, and she's got all this Jesus stuff all over her. all over her boards. And I mean, they're manufactured that way because she designs them. And when they told her they didn't want any more Jesus stuff on it, she said, "That's fine," and she's going to leave the company. And they said, "Well, never mind. We'll put whatever you want on there." It's amazing. What's that? Yeah, and they're the best. They're the best boards and the best selling boards. So here she is. She's just fun. She's refreshingly honest. They call her the karaoke something, because she's got her helmet on, she's got an iPod on, and she's just playing all this intense worship music, you know, while she performs her stunts and stuff. And she's just singing to the top of her lungs up there, and not necessarily on tune, which honestly adds to the moment, because she just doesn't care. Well, so I get home last night yesterday afternoon from Southern California, and Benny asked me, "Do you want to see Kelly Clark?" I said, "Oh yeah," because I missed that part. So she puts in, there was two runs. I don't know how many she had, but I got to see two runs she had recorded, and two runs down this old half pipe thing where they jump in the air and twist and turn and land and. I'd be interceding. You would hear tongues coming out of me if I was up in the air going like that. Saying, "Oh, Jesus, if you're ever going to come, come now before I hit the ground." And the first time, they not only does she have her iPod where she's listening to this music, but they play music that she wants over the stadium where she's snowboarding. And the first song that she skied to was Kim Walker in Jesus Culture. I mean, it's being broadcast to the nations. That's Kim Walker. That's Jesus Culture band playing. It's being broadcast by NBC to the nations. And the next time she skied, they did Jake Hamilton, who recorded with the Jesus Culture band, and his stuff was being broadcast to the nations. You know what? Yeah. Favor is this wonderful thing. But it's to be used for the King. And my, if there's anybody I've ever seen in a sporting arena that just could care less about dumbing things down to be make it palatable, here's this radical revivalist. And then Paul shared with our leadership this morning in our meeting, he said he was so moved that she was at some event, won a gold medal, returns to Mammoth. He's down there speaking, working with their group. And only hours later, she's up on a ladder helping to paint the church. Because there's no superstars in the kingdom. There's just kings who get to rule with the heart of a servant. And there's servants who have access to unlimited resources like kings. And she models it well. And I feel like there's something in that whole thing right now that some of you ache in your heart. Now, I don't want to make this. I don't want to create two classes of people by doing this. But when I say this testimony, you ache in your heart for your place of righteous influence in society, and I don't think it's necessarily the desire of everybody in the room, because many of you, quite honestly, are in that place right now, and you're just trying to sort out what do I do next. So I'm talking about those who ache in their heart for that kind of placement to give radical influence to culture and society around you. I want you to stand, because we're going to pray for you. We're just going to pray for you. The first instruction is buy an iPod. Yeah. I'm not going to ask how many of you don't know what an iPod is, because I don't want to. We'll leave it right there. Okay. We have pockets of people where there's nobody sitting. We have other pockets where we have people sitting. Those of you that are sitting, I want you to stand, lay hands on somebody who's standing. Those of you that are standing in groups together, just grab a hand or put your hand on each other's shoulder in some way, connect with people around you. Now, here's what I'm going to ask you to do right now. I'm going to ask you to pray a different kind of prayer. In Romans chapter 8, it tells us that all creation groans and travails, longing for the sons of God, the daughters of the Lord, to be revealed. What is the groaning creation for? For you to find your place. It follows that by saying the saints groan within themselves, the same thing. It follows that by saying the Holy Spirit, knowing that we don't know how to pray accurately, he groans with the same cry. And it follows that with the saying that Jesus sits at the right hand of the Father and he makes the same kind of intercession. What is the point? The point is everything, all creation, the saints, the Holy Spirit, and the Son of God are all before the Father, not trying to convince him of something, but representing humanity before the Father, saying, Father, please release your name. Release your name into the hearts of people. The place of favor, the place of favor, the place of identity, the place of significance, the place of influence. Now remember, favor is to be used for the king and his kingdom. It is not for our empire. It is for the king and his kingdom. I'm going to ask right now, I want the prayer of the groan and the travail, the burden of the Lord, praying in the Spirit for the release of that kind of favor released to the people of God right now. Pray it now. Lift your voices and pray. This time, those of you that are being prayed for, you can pray as well. I want you to pray with the groaning, the travail, the words that cannot be uttered. I want you to pray into this. God, release the people of God into this fulfillment even now. The people of God into this fulfillment even now. The place of extraordinary favor and breakthrough. Don't stop. Don't stop. Don't stop. Yes, God. Yes, God. Yes, God. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. We say yes, Lord. We say yes to the favor of God. We say yes. We say yes. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Let's have everyone stand if you're able to. Those who aren't staying, join us. We're going to stand together. We've run out of time, and so we'll just call it a morning. Tonight, Larry Randolph is going to be speaking, so that's going to be a real special treat. Let me read this scripture to you. Because we're going to pray for one more thing we already prayed for, and we'll do this in closing. Since you're standing, I'll just read it to you. It says, for the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, was not yes and no. Jesus Christ, who was preached to you by us, Paul says, Timothy, Silvanus himself, was not yes and no, was not. Sometimes it's his will, sometimes it's not. It was not if it's your will. If it be thy will. That was not the message preached. The Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, was not yes and no, but in him was yes. For all the promises of God in him are yes. And in him, amen, amen, to the glory of God through us. In him is the amen through us for the glory of God. In him is the amen through us. One more prayer. I read an article this week. It was given to me in Southern California. It said that people that are naturally happy, it improves the health condition of their heart. Their hearts are actually healthier. And then it went on and it said, doctors, in this article, the doctor said, if you're not naturally happy, act like you are. That's a good word. And there are some people who say, well, I don't want to be phony. Oh, please try it. Fake it till you make it, I think is what they say. So just put your hand on your own heart and say, Jesus, make me the happiest person in this city. I mean it. I'm serious. I mean the happiest person in the city. I want to be contagious. Lord, let the virus of joy spread through this city. Yeah.